And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our quest to find those new ways of being, living, growing, loving, and having fun and joy in our lives. This program comes your way Saturdays from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We archive these programs so you can get them at the radio show's page at richarddugan.com. And we also encourage you to take a look at the What They're Saying About TMYS, Tell Me Your Story. Click on that big wide banner there in the middle of the page, and you'll see some quotes from some folks who've been on the program and some folks who have listened to the program and enjoy it greatly. And some people have had some wonderful suggestions, and I really do appreciate the fact that you folks took the time to let me know what you think of the program. I love doing it. I love interviewing the folks that we have on, including our guest today. And I can't believe that I'm doing this kind of stuff on a regular basis. And I suppose I should say that I can believe it because I am doing it. But it's one of those things where you go, wow, really? I get to do this and have fun with this and it's fabulous. And the same thing with the work that I do. In addition to this, the production and working for a local station and voiceover work and all those things, absolutely fabulous. Well, we're going to talk about that and more, much, much more. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about something more and more or less. Those are the titles of the two books by my author and my guest, Stephen Redding, and he has a website, stephenredding.com. And by the way, Stephen, you spell that with a P-H. Not the Redding part, the Stephen part.
Yes, we do, Richard.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me today, and a fond hello to your listeners. I'm coming from the woodlands of eastern Pennsylvania.
Oh, I hear it's beautiful there, no matter what time of year it is.
It's hot and stuffy today, but it is beautiful.
Well, we're having some humidity this week from the Mexican across the Mexican border. It's the traditional monsoonal flow, as they call it. A matter of fact, I don't know if you heard about this or not, but Phoenix, of course, it was hit by they call them haboobs. They're giant dust storms, and they started calling them that in Phoenix before I left. That was about 10 or 15 years ago. And they also stopped calling them monsoon storms because a monsoon is a storm and they were being redundant. But this storm just rolled into the Phoenix area, huge thing. And I remember growing up with those. I don't think you get those in Pennsylvania, though.
No, but there's been a lot of huge weather all over the globe these last couple of years. And once again, I think it's part of the punctuation that the Big Mama is asking us to relook and newly regard our relationship to her and the creation, which is our home.
It's an extraordinary experience we're all having, both you and I, Stephen, our listeners, that people keep saying, I hear this from many of my guests, that this is an exciting time to be alive. With that kind of premise of weather and extremes that we're experiencing, sometimes I have to wonder, is it really that? It may be exciting for us if we're not going through it, but if we're going through it, it can be rather fearful and tumultuous. And someone has described this whole process that you summed up there as a birthing, that we are, you know, there is going to be that kinetic energy, what seems chaos before the baby's born. And that we're just on the verge of the actual birth. We're coming out.
I like that, Richard, and I think it's very appropriate. But it remains in our hands to regard and remember again the circle of life to which we belong. Because taking life in its wholeness is the birthing. We need to remember again who we are and why we are here and understand that that divine and that very special aspect of our lives is deeply connected to the sensuous, which is always placed right before us.
That's an interesting word you use, the sensuous?
Yes.
Elaborate on that.
So much of our lostness, so much of who we pretend to be, has been generated from ideas that have very little to do with the reality of who we are in this physicality. So many people diminish the value of the creation as though it's hard to be here. We're dying constantly. And yet what they're not realizing is the longer view of life, that this world and creation to which we are a part and now birthing anew has been, represents a long journey that we've been upon. And although now we live in bodies and containers, we're manifesting individuality. And we're being allowed to co-create those very special qualities of life, like caring and love, friendship, gardening. And we're being allowed to know life in a special way, in a new way. And that can only happen if we allow ourselves to diminish the whirlwind of our minds, simplify our lives, and come back to where we actually lift a handful of earth from time to time, find a stream to sit by and listen to the whisper of the waters, and lie under the crested and beautiful starry sky and allow this creation to envelope us within her, and then truly experience the wonder of not just who we are, but what it's all about.
Now, you raise an interesting premise for me as we've been doing these programs in regards to individuality. And then, of course, reconnecting with the earth and our role in the collective and so forth. And I've been curious about this, so I'll ask you to elaborate on this idea. In all of the great religious writings of the world down through history, there are descriptions of God, and I'll just use that individual term there for the moment. And then there's us, the individuals, the human beings, the creation, and so forth. And that there is dualism, good, bad, light, dark, up, down, etc. But in all of those writings, it talks about the singularity of God, and that we are working towards reuniting with, shall we say, the One, which means that we, in essence, will give up our individuality. The duality goes away. And one interesting thing came to mind. In my broadcast history, I worked for a Christian radio station, and they always talked about God and the devil, and these were opposites, and they were fighting and battling and so forth. And I thought, well, wait a minute. The devil, according to the tradition, is a fallen angel created by God. So there is no polarity there. There's God who created everything. There is no duality. So it seems as though, you know, we're trying to go back to where we started from. Why do you think we needed this experience of duality and individuality? If God is God, knows all, is everywhere, and so forth, you have an explanation?
Richard, that's a big question, but let me look into it a little bit.
Okay.
I want to start by defining my notion of God, because it's been that great gift that's been given back to me on multiple occasions when I have suffered death, even while being a resident of this world. But for me, life itself represents this wondrous journey through what was at one time a very dark and very compressed space or place. And way back when we all began, as that moment in the impulse of creation met that dark and awesome place. And I think the physicists have it right when they refer to that as the Big Bang. And throughout the journey of life, we've always been there. And there's two parts of us that need to be remembered. One, there is an essence that is directly connected with the One, as you will, belongs always to the eternal sea of life. But throughout this journey, the unique aspect of this creation, this world, and other worlds that move along with us, and each with different dimensions. These worlds were individualized as life played out in her journey. It wasn't, it's not wrong to think that we are separate of God, but it's more important to think that we all live within this oneness. And we experience this separateness in this world of Earth during this existence in physicality because from moment to moment we are met with an opposing force, which we can loosely call the darkness. Some people call it the devil. And it's not easy here. And as a living, moving creation, we are, in essence, the tip of that arrow through this time and space. And this has been evolving over ages. But the important thing that I learned and can speak very clearly about is that we were always present. The form, the containers have changed. Early on, we were probably more like light beings than fluid beings. And now in recent age, we have become firmed up in physicality. But it doesn't diminish the fact that there's also this eternal aspect of us, which some people refer to as spirit. I call it essence. And that part is the part that will remain with us beyond this body and beyond this time. So the challenge today is, I think, to accept the dualistic aspects of the physical experience, accept them for what they are, but live as though we're living forever. Because truly, my friend, leaving here can be living on.
Well, and I certainly do accept that as a reality. I have to say that I believe that. I don't know that anybody absolutely knows it for certain. That's one of the frustrations with reincarnation that I have dealt with in my early years of metaphysical searchings is until a baby comes back through the womb with some artifact from the past, I'm going to have a hard time believing in reincarnation. But what's brought me forward in time as far as that's concerned is, where do some of my personality traits come from? Because my family can't explain that as far as recent relatives, that kind of thing, my spiritual leanings and so forth. This whole aspect that you describe as your death experiences or near-death experiences, how many of these did you have?
Well, roughly I had about 14. And I didn't come out of the trees to do this interview today to be anything less than certain about some of these perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can clearly say that probably the most beautiful aspect of dying and on my third blizzard experience when I was frozen to a fence and found later. But by that point, I came to realize that I truly could exist without my body. Because as was so very true for me and has been true for other people who've had near-death experiences, we are able to look back and say consciously from some other reality or some other place, we can say, wow, what am I doing frozen to the fence and what happened? Well, the beautiful thing about it is we can't know existence without the body, but we do exist. We existed before the body was built upon our conscious. And if we live in life or live with God or live in a caring way, we will continue to live beyond this body. Now, whether we reincarnate and come back to this world is an option because there's other worlds out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that you need more specific clarification or evidence, then you are demeaning or diminishing this essence or this eternalness which has given us life and carries us to a rational aspect of the maiming and dark-serving mind. And that is why the challenges of becoming more sensuous today and remembering to touch in meaningful ways the world that we belong and to diminish the control of thought and ideas which have not only separated us from the circle of life, but it has allowed an arrogance to be born in us, which justifies the manipulating of many other beautiful life systems. It has justified the taking of endless forests who serve us in their quiet and beautifully life-managed way.
Mm-hmm.
And it has also justified or has caused that that critical sense of existential aloneness that we as human family do suffer. And the challenge before us and the birthing, it really needs to be a new connection, a remembering, and accept completely in the life that began us. You can call it God, but, you know, we didn't just arrive here.
Mm-hmm.
Life chose us.
Right.
We're not an accident. And when you go beyond through accident or death or near death, you sense it, you know it, and you experience the phenomena of more life that are almost impossible to talk about.
And I can agree with you on those points. The perspectives on reincarnation were maybe 15, 20 years ago. And today, it's not that I spend a great deal of time focusing on that. But I even came to the conclusion, though I didn't buy into or accept the premises or the dogma or doctrine of religion about the creation of the world and then our creation and our existence and the reasons for us being here, I took the position that my life and this world is not an accident. If I choose to accept that it is an accident, then my life has no meaning and it doesn't matter what I do. And yet for some reason, there's something inside of me that says, no, your life has meaning. This existence was not an accident and you do have purpose. And so you have to be about that purpose.
That's beautiful, Richard, because that's that ancient intelligence coming through all these layers of unknowing, coming through all the skepticism of rational mind, and it's you to remember on a deep level that you do belong to something intentional and some wondrous creation. That is so important, and I think on individual levels, we can't be told that, but we do have to sense that. People have to realize. And there's another beautiful teaching or understanding that came from my death experiences. And namely, I was shown in many ways, one by actually meeting phantoms that had preceded me, who were now phantoms, but at one time was my grandfather, my favorite nephew and whatnot, in this one reality which had joined the earth. And these beings, these people, my grandpa and my friends and Aunt Gertrude, they were still very much alive and well, and they were in this subdued reality. But during the blizzard experience, that's where I recovered. But I was being scolded by these recently deported relatives and friends of mine. Mm-hmm. But it confirmed in me that, you know, if one lives in life and one's body passes away, that doesn't diminish your claim to continual existence. And that, in fact, all of us today who walk upon the earth, who stand under the sun and have the opportunity to study the stars, are also doing that for those who came before them. So that in real ways, not metaphysical, not metaphorical ways, but in real ways, we are the eyes and the hopes and the intentions of countless beings who preceded us in this time upon the earth. And it's beautiful because as we honor our life and accept living within life's qualities of caring and friendship and creation and music, and when we do these things that are enduring and matter, we are nurturing those who made our place in this time possible. It's a beautiful thing.
Indeed it is. And as just before we go to break, I will share with you an experience my wife and I had. We were in Ireland, and we had just gotten there, and we'd been there a couple of days. We were beginning our travels, and she wanted to stop into a cemetery. And I thought, this is odd. She never mentioned that she had interests in cemeteries. And so at first blush, I thought, well, okay, she wants to go there. I'll, you know, not a problem. I began to get an insight that the cemeteries contained the bodies of the people who had built the towns in which this place existed. And if it weren't for the people in those graves, this town and this life wouldn't exist.
Exactly. And there's still a resonance.
Yes.
It might not be immediately available to our knowing, but we can sense it.
It was, I have to say, it was quite an awakening nonetheless. Well, Stephen, we're going to talk more about your book, Something More and More or Less, and your thoughts and musings on life and this life as well as the next here on Tell Me Your Story. As we take a break, we're going to go talk with Beth McDonald in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
Understand
you.
This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan with Beth McDonald of BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, and we're here to talk about the relationships that we have with our families, our friends. Some of what we were talking about with Stephen Redding before we took our break had to do, we were talking about cemeteries, and I shared with him, Beth, about my experiences in Ireland and the transition that I had as I began to experience not a fear or a macabre feeling, but more of a, if it weren't for the people lying in the ground here, this town wouldn't exist. The life that these people have wouldn't even be here. And Stephen talks, of course, about how we sort of owe our present moment, if you will, to the people of the past, and that the people that will come after us will hopefully honor us in the same way by continuing on. And we're going to talk more about that with him. But we have a full moon coming up. We've got a lot of other things that are happening. But the primary issue that we want to kind of focus on has to do with family and relationships, which seems to permeate. We were talking about also the collectiveness of us as peoples and how we're working forward towards a better life. So what's happening in the stars and the skies, as well as the mathematical aspects and equations?
Right, right. Well, as we've been discussing, there's been a lot of energy in the sign of Cancer. There were several eclipses last month, and those always reveal many things. And one of the things that I've been seeing is, you know... Oh, Max, my dog, wants to communicate here. Speaking of family members.
That's right.
One of the things I'm seeing a lot is a lot, you know, because of the economy and things, a lot of families are realizing that they have to work together more. Mm. And they are dealing with the legacies of those that came before us.
Mm-hmm.
And like making a new model, creating a new model for the children. You know, one of the things I see so much is like families don't sit down together at the dinner table or the kitchen table and discuss problems in a, you know, more democratic way and solve them. You know,
yeah.
Most of our families kind of resemble the American Senate and House of Representatives. You know,
I'm going to filibuster now.
Yeah, filibusters and power grabs, and it just doesn't work for anybody. And so
yeah.
One of the things that's happening now, there's a lot of energy in the sign of Cancer. There's a lot of energy in the sign of Libra, which is about harmony and balance and working together. Libra rules negotiating and compromising. And so there's a lot of windows of opportunity for that now. And so what I've been telling families is if there's problems that are coming up, you know, it's an opportunity to grow closer together, to learn how to work better together, to have more of a functional rather than a dysfunctional family experience.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that means you have to put aside your own needs or neediness on a temporary basis so that you can be the adult in the room.
You know, it's an interesting thing you bring up specifically about sitting down for dinner or even for that matter, breakfast. It was January of this year, and it was more due to the need to improve my health.
Right.
We started having breakfast.
I think we
went out and bought steel-cut oats and see what we liked. And we've shifted over to cream of wheat because we really both like that. And
right.
Yes, we have eggs as well. But we actually sit down, and we're talking about not just Saturdays and Sundays.
Right.
We're talking about Monday through Friday
every
before
day.
We go to work. We've set aside a minimum, if we have more time, great, but a minimum of, say, 10 to 15 minutes. We can do a bunch of other things while the breakfast is cooking. And then we sit down, and we eat, and we chat a little bit, and the cats are around us, and it's wonderful. And yes, we're able to talk about maybe about what's coming up in the day or plans for when we get home or these kinds of things.
Strategies. You know, short-term little things like what's for dinner and long-term, you know, how are we paying the bills at the end of the month? And longer-term, you know, how about that vacation?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those are important things to talk about because if you don't talk about them...
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
And the problem, the fear starts to grow and generate around them.
Exactly.
So it's just an extraordinary time. Well, Beth, I thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I encourage you folks to go to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, and we will talk to you again next week, Beth.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, and we're going to come back with Stephen Redding right here on this program.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And we are back here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with Stephen Redding, and we are talking about something more, and more or less, we're talking about something more. Stephen, I thank you so much for staying with us and sharing yourself with our audience, with our listeners. I'm curious as to how you began this journey in terms of the we'll call it the more spiritual walk in life. Was this something that was part of your childhood, or did you grow into it at a later time?
Well, I would have to say that for me, it began when I was crushed by a tractor at age 4, and a miracle occurred, obviously, when this little boy was, firmed up in his mother's arms and then woke up 4 days later after being pretty long and well involved in another world and came back into the element of time. But from that moment, and I was a young guy, but still things are happening in me that I couldn't let go of that experience, because I knew a world where death didn't even exist, where joy was in the air. I clearly was in a world where the dualities that become everyday life on Earth did not exist. So we can work and birth towards a time when a life can live without death, and that is a huge good news, and also a promise to all of us, if we will continue to express a basic trust in this world and what she puts in front of us, there will be a day with a beginning and not an end. And that's as much verification as I can lend. But I can assure all of us that we didn't travel through these many ages and come this far to let it all slip away. Friends and people, we do have in front of us a huge, tumultuous time. Many bodies will be lost during this time, but life will not. Our world has been through these crises before, and life has been elastic enough that she has not forsaken the journey, nor will she forsake us. It's difficult to know how it will play out, but we're in a time when it's not easy. And yet, every small effort will have huge and meaningful influences. This world is on its edge, and you can read that by the many life systems, very precious life systems, that are losing their place. And the signs are everywhere. And what I want to remind people to do is to remember who they are. Come back to life and trust in that unseeable but very obvious essence that moves you, who has born you, and who has chosen you. And we best do that when we celebrate life. It's not about putting a huge burden on our shoulder. It's more about being present, diminishing the mind and simplifying our lives, and being available for the things that express love and friendship. Believe it or not, that's what feeds life's river, and life's river what nurtures this creation.
You put that so eloquently and with such assurance. I have to ask, in the 14 near-death experiences that you had, was there ever any one of those times where you just wanted to stay there?
I always enjoyed, except for two occasions where I ended up in not such a pretty place, I very much loved the space I was in, but I was getting it that I was being prepared to be a voice for this world. A young chicken farmer came back from the edge, and I very much loved this world and always did. So in a recent conference where I spoke in San Diego, in the near-death experience group, it's called the IONS Association, and out of 14 experiencers, or 15, I guess, I was the only one, which was interesting, that wanted to come back on all occasions, even though I was very touched by the worlds, and just to understand the immensity of this creation, to understand how we are so much more than bodies. That should make anybody who hears this feel somewhat better. But there is a life around us that is mystical but very present. And it is the staying essence of our spirit and our being. And all that it asks for is for us to take it to the well of sustenance, to add life into places where people hunger, to pick up those who have fallen, and most importantly, to bring ourselves into the world and touch her, see her, lift her, and just be part of this celebration. Be a part of the creation. Because the birthing that we talked about, Richard, is more about awakening and remembering than it is anything new. Mm-hmm. We have been and remain in the embrace of life. So to trust that she will place in front of us what she's asking of us, and then for us not to be distracted about what's coming tomorrow and what happened yesterday, but be available. And there is where we breathe deeply and we make meaningful influences and meaningful vibrations go out into the world. That's how we're going to lift this damning curtain of taking and manipulation and move into that new horizon again, with a day with a beginning and not an end. So I'd ask everybody to imagine such a time, and then to the extent that they can trust, to make it theirs. And that would be such a time when tomorrow doesn't matter because today never goes away.
What is your religious upbringing?
I was born and raised along with 14 brothers and sisters as a Catholic.
Okay, you and I both. and
maybe you have a lot of brothers and sisters.
I actually have one brother and four sisters, and it's kind of wonderful to have the family, especially whether times are good or bad. It's nice to be able to communicate with them and see how things are going and have that connection. And I found it extraordinary, and I'm not sure if you had the same experience or not, Stephen. I've had some of the most extraordinary metaphysical and spiritual conversations with my parents that I can I just absolutely extraordinary. I was actually surprised that my mother and father even contemplated these kinds of things. Do you find that parents of children who are pursuing a more, shall we say, esoteric life, somewhere down the road are surprised by the fact that their parents were kind of there too?
Well, I think a lot of us are, because I think that's why a lot of us ignore our parents in such matters, and we rather suggest that they just don't get it,
yeah,
and that they're expecting too much of us. But remember that these parents are our highway. These were instrumental in carrying us into this world, and we always must hold them in high regard. Many of them came from a time and an age where the bottom line was king, and industrialism reigned as a giant, and Caesar was strong and well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sadly, Caesar remains strong and well. But we only need to give back to Caesar a small amount. And if we give the rest to life and the celebration of life, we will involve our parents in our conversations. In my case, my mother was right there always. In fact, left this world as an amazing natural healer. And my father, he pretty much remained the slave driver. With 15 kids, you got to use them, right? So, but no, he was a good man.
Yeah.
But he never opened and awakened on the level that my mother did. And I think that would be most people's experience, would be that one parent or another will be more attuned than the other. But we can lift these parents by just being good to them and being respectful, taking some of the pressure off. That is the single biggest prescription for health and wellness today, is to find ways to simplify our lives. Because when we do, we'll start to realize that a lot of the stuff that's been distracting us is utter nonsense. And it's all about patterns of accumulation, which lead to the sinful sense of manipulation. And we just need to allow life to reach in and put her hands around our heart and say, come, child, come back to where you belong.
You know, you raise a very interesting point. I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked many of my guests, and I've even asked people that I've just been conversing with in face-to-face and sometimes on the phone. And this is a question that doesn't require a deep, deep answer in terms of some spiritual or metaphysical answer, because the question is more of a practical, down-to-earth, physical kind of thing, and that is, what are we as humans here to achieve?
We are here to continue to stand in for life. And that is, you know, that's one of the big questions, the paradigm that needs to be appreciated, what I call the new world view. We're not here because we weren't good enough. We're not here because we were accidents. We're not here because of some original sin or something we need to learn. We've always been here, and our faces have changed, but our intention and purpose has remained the same. And it was to be part of life's expression in whatever we do. There's not a wrong thing to do, but the way we do it is what matters. So the challenge for the journey of life from that impulse, that moment of the Big Bang, was to illumine the darkness and to bring understanding to a space that was so condensed, so cold, and so dark that life did not know it. And now we're amidst in this incredible journey. And believe me, Richard, from out there, when one goes to the edge of this world and into the edge of others, you get to see the picture. And it is breathtaking to see these multiple worlds moving through in sinewy waves with color around them and projectiles flying from them as we move through this rich, deep darkness. But the darkness, as long as this journey takes, will continue to infiltrate us as we allow it. And in today's world, most of it comes through these outserved ideas of dominion, control, aggression, and taking. And none of that has a place in life. I think it's beautifully illustrated in the book. My daughter did the illustration for More or Less. When one hand is open with a beautiful blue eye that sees into the future, this is a hand of giving, a hand of caring, a hand of love. And the other hand is fisted, and there is one tear, last tear falling from it. And that is the hand of taking, the hand of aggression, the hand of manipulation, and there is no further vision nor future for that hand. And in the way we will live our lives, we will choose. Will there be more life for us, or will we slip back into the darkness in which we journey? It's huge, but the possibilities are just wondrous.
It really gets me pondering. I listen to your words, and there are times when I am watching the events around me, the news, listening to it on the radio, and sometimes the mind is devoid of hope. And then I hear what you speak of, and it says it isn't necessarily about hope, because this physical world is not the end. It's just a place where we are right now.
Exactly. It's the vessel we need now, as are the bodies that represent the nucleus of who we are in existence. But the reality of it is that world and these bodies are also highly valued because they're absolutely necessary at this point in the journey of life. And we will come to a time when we can choose to have them again, have another one, or move back into the eternal sea, and then experience that sense of connection and oneness, which underlies most of the seriously deep spiritual yearnings in people, mm-hmm. is that they've been exhausted through this almost endless journey, and has been for many ages, Richard. And I understand people's distrust and people's frustrations. And I understand it when people want to point their finger at the ego and curse at the ego. But friends, the issue is not the ego. We need a strong ego. We can choose whether it's going to be a caring and loving ego, or will it be taking and manipulative? And if you take from the world around you, you are taking from yourself. So that is the issue, to again affirm in the way we live what matters most. And what matters most is our courage to ask ourselves, are we valued? And if we don't come up, if our gut doesn't say, yes, I like what I'm doing, I like the people in my life, then we are asked to change the picture. If we have the courage to start that process, life will fill in the blanks, I promise you.
Mm.
Something will be put there. If you're willing to close a door that's not working, a door of wonder will open. Following that, we're on our way again. On individual and collective levels, we'll be facing the right direction. And then the only request is that we keep on walking. And to remember how to face that right direction, we continuously need to ask ourselves, are we honoring the life within us? And simultaneously, are we caring for the life around us? And again, these can be answered in small but persistent ways. Therefore, we're living a life in existence where the ordinary and the extraordinary become the same. We don't need to reach out and look for a spiritual path, because as opposed to finding someplace wonderful, the wonderful will be about us.
Is it, I'm curious as to whether or not you have any perspectives on our previous existence as beings in physical form, in terms of our existence on other planets. There are those who contend that we are hybrids of both human and what we would consider alien to this world, this planet, that's the juxtaposition, or that we come from other planets to this one, that we're not designed to physically designed to withstand the harsh extremes of this planet, and that's why we build the things that we build so that we can survive here.
Well, first of all, the beautiful experience of death and near death is that you become acquainted that there's different worlds that move together, somehow loosely connected, but very much as part of the creation of this journey in physicality. And within that creation, all physical and heavenly bodies belong to this movement. Many of us coexist simultaneously in other realities and worlds also. So the truth of who we are is like a multifaceted crystal, where you can only take the radiance that comes from all facets at one time. And so in our biologic living existence, we can sense these other realms that we have been part of and that we do belong to. But again, it comes back to the quality of basic trust that we're here now, we've been asked to be here, we want to be here, and this world is calling us. And Earth, in a new way, is asking for our help. She's asking us to embrace her and to be sensitive to her many other children, these other life systems that we've not been very good to. And she's reminding us that the success or failure of her and us, it will be the collective power of all life taken simultaneously. And that will be what blows the lid off of the consuming darkness and allow more light to flood in. So yes, Richard, some of us have been, as you said, hybrids from other worlds and other times, and some of us have been continuously a part of this journey. And I think when people speak of an old soul, they're speaking of somebody who's always been here. In my books, I call them Benginers, and meaning they've been here from the beginning.
Okay.
So they didn't start in physicality,
right,
as none of us did.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, the conditions that we met demanded that we would only be protected in light.
Mm. The whole subject matter of our existence in this world perplexes many. We fight with it sometimes. We fight with each other sometimes over what is and isn't true. And it seems as though we would have learned. I mean, we've been here for thousands of years. We've been playing that same old game for thousands of years. And it just seems as though here we are in the 21st century. Why isn't it that we're not getting it?
Well, we've been here for millions of years.
Okay.
We've been in our containers in form for multiple thousands of years. A part of why we don't get it is that over the course of this journey, much was forgotten, much was lost. And that's why I'm saying that the birthing is more a matter of awakening and remembering. And throughout that period of time, dying hasn't been fun. And every time it happens, it introduces a huge amount of stress to an otherwise continuous essence of a being. As that has happened, our mind had gained an ascendance over our spirit, over our essence, and over our gut and instinct. The mind played out this role of calling this creation dangerous, and it brought into ideas like dominion and manifest destiny. As it did that, the mind started to reach out to control the world, to do it in its likeness. That brings us on to the time of the prophetic Garden of Eden, if you will. We are choosing today whether we will remain part of this wondrous creation or whether we will have been lost through extinction. I do believe that. But I also know that as the journey has played out, we have given up that basic sense of trust or faith in life itself. And as we've done that, we've justified our own ideas, and we've justified leaving the circle of life. In fact, not only leaving it, but demolishing lots of it, so we could reach out here and create a desert, if you will. And as we severed those ties, we suffered mightily. And then rational thought, questions, and argument had entered the scene, and now we're living on this horizontal plane of idiocy, which is one one idea chasing another, when we really need to come back to the context and experience the sensuous again. The sensuous, just as one person puts another body in their arms, in that embrace, there is a moment of knowing. We call it love. There is a moment of celebration, of giving life its fullness. And we do the same thing when we lift an elder up, or we water a thirsty tree. These are moments when we are responding to what life is asking of us, and we're finding ourselves again. So if people will just spend more time walking along the ocean, sitting by a river, in their gardens, hiking, loving, caring for their neighbors, it'll be amazing. And that's what so many people are awakening to. I can't tell you, Richard, how many people have come to understand the difference between a factory egg and a backyard organic egg. The difference is life itself.
Oh, it is.
One has this huge impulse of gift, of wellness, yes. And the other is just a proximity of what it should be.
Yeah.
And those are the arguments out there that continue to stone us. So, you know, the rational mind needs to be put back in an integrated place in our life. It does not equal our presence.
In the last moment that we have, and unfortunately that's about all we have left, who is Stephen Redding?
Okay, well, I'm a little bit of a flake with this outrageous number of with this outrageous experiences of death in many ways. I am also a father of four with a long-term relationship. I am a voice for the trees. I go to prison for them. I fight for them. I make them well. I am also now a voice for this message. I've committed the rest of my life to this message. It's not for sale, but obviously I have been given the insights and the experiences that demand me to come out and speak. So I've been doing that. But what I really like to do is walk under the stars at night, and I like to play with my chickens and dogs, and I like to plant some flowers, and I love people, and I love life. So I have a high regard for this world, and I just during my lifetime will not allow to see it be pissed away.
Well, right? I can tell you that I cannot say it sounds like a great life. I know, because my life is like yours. I have chickens. I have dogs. I live in the mountains, and I can relate. And Stephen Redding,
next time I come to California, I'm coming to your house.
Please, you have an open invitation. Come on
very
out.
Nice.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you once again for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story. And people can go to StephenRedding.com and find out more about your book, your books, actually, Something More and More or Less. Stephen, thank you so much.
And real quick, Richard, there's a video blog from time to time. And
yes.
It handles this message, responding to people's questions, and it's been very effective. People are liking it, so some
great
of your listeners might want to sign up on the website, then they get them.
Check it out, StephenRedding.com. I'm Richard Dugan, and you've been listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Until next Saturday, love to Lal.